Good morning, Grace Harbor. It's Dan. I hope your Thursday is off to a great start. Even though it's been about a month since the Christmas decorations came down around town, when I walk through the village green, it still feels empty to me. I can see in my mind where the big Christmas tree was, and I especially miss the lights that were in all of the trees. The same is true at our house as well. We shift some of the furniture around to make room for our family tree, but after taking it down, I haven't put everything back yet, and so there's an open space in the corner of the room. Or at least, there was. Now it's filled with a random collection of shoes, cardboard boxes, toys, and some stray pet hair. To get the room back to the way it's supposed to be, I'm gonna have to take some extra time getting all that stuff back where it goes. See if you can name at least one place like this in your home. What usually gets put there? And here's a tricky question. Why do you think that spot became the go-to for all of that random stuff? If you need more time, and you might with this one, feel free to pause the podcast, and I'll be right here when you get back. Depending on what your space is like, there are probably two main reasons. First, if it's behind a door or inside a drawer, you probably shove stuff in there because you don't have to worry about seeing it. Second, if it's someplace that's not hidden, like the counter or the corner of a room, it's probably because it's an area you pass a lot. And so when your hands are full and you're looking for a place to set things down, it's an easy target. But no matter what the specific reason is, there's a bigger reason that applies to all of those spaces. They get filled with random stuff because they aren't filled with intentional things. If I had put the furniture back after taking down the tree, that corner of the room would not have become the drop corner because I would have intentionally filled it with the chair that goes there. Now, I can hear an adult or two saying in their mind, well, I wish the kitchen counter wasn't filled with anything. All the clutter is driving me crazy. To which I say, I totally agree. But in a way, what you're wanting to fill that space with is, well, space. Intentional, open space. And this can all help us understand something important about the practice of fasting, which we've been exploring this week. We've defined fasting as giving something up on purpose for a period of time. Well, when we give something up, it creates a blank space. When Bobby gave up coffee, he took away something he enjoyed and relied on to keep him going, and it leaves a space. If you were to give up watching TV for the day, it creates extra time, maybe 30 minutes, maybe an hour or more, that you could fill with something else. When we fast, it creates space. And if we don't intentionally fill that space, it can get filled up with random stuff, just like the junk drawer or the corner of the room where the tree had been. So, jumping back to our two examples, Bobby might skip coffee, but start drinking soda or an energy drink and get just as hooked. You might not watch TV, but you could end up scrolling on a tablet and not even notice the difference. That's why fasting is about more than just what we give up. It's about what we choose to do instead. If we want fasting to be something that helps us better connect with God, we need to be intentional about how we fill that space. What's something you could do with the time you would have spent watching TV that helps you connect with God or grow in your faith? Well, you could draw or paint a picture to give to someone else as a way of showing them love. You could go outside and play or take a walk or ride your bike and enjoy God's creation. And of course, you could always read part of your Bible and say a prayer. For Bobby, perhaps when he starts to really want a cup of coffee and he hears that voice say, "You need it," he can stop and say a quick prayer. Something like, "Thank you, God, for the blessing of coffee. I love it and I enjoy it, but I don't need it. Help me remember that what I need the most is your love, and you've already given it to me. Amen. Okay, so far I've asked you to think about fasting and to talk about fasting, but I think it might be time to actually challenge you to try it. Is there something you could give up on purpose today or tomorrow or for the weekend? Then, whenever you think about wanting the thing you give up, or whenever the time comes that you would normally do it, just say a quick prayer like the one we just heard. Or you could simply say, "Thank you, God." In your wind-down time together tonight, talk about what you're thinking about giving up. If you're having a hard time coming up with something, ask your family for some suggestions. Or, if you already know what you're going to give up, and you start today, share how it went. Let's close in prayer. If you want to, you can close your eyes and fold your hands. Dear God, we thank you for the practice of fasting. We thank you that it can create a space in our lives that we can fill with you and your blessings. Give us the courage to try it out and show us that you love us whether we succeed or not. Amen. Okay, Grace Harbor, have a great Thursday, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.